Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We'll get back to the basketball conversation at 800-919-3776. Knicks and everything else happening in the association. Hoops hierarchy coming up a little bit later on in the show as well. What list am I going to have for you today, Bart Scott? Well, you have to wait to find out. In the meantime, though, NFL news continuing. And you just said it a minute ago, right, when we were during off-air. So say it again here. If you're a Jets fan, think about this reality of what happened with what happened yesterday with two former Jets being released on the same day.
Yeah, man. Jamal Adams and Marcus May released. You know, so you not signing them guys and getting out of those contracts maybe was a good thing. Marcus May, because of the injuries, just hasn't been the player that we thought he could be. And Jamal Adams, you know, his career has been – he started off, you know, like a supernova here and taking the ball from Saquon and, you know, scoring a touchdown and the bravado, the loquacious personality. And it went out there to Seattle, and it's been diminished. Who did he get into a beef with? What media person did he get in beef with? Connor Hughes or somebody like that?
Yeah. Remember he posted a photo of him and his and his wife, which was bizarre.
Yeah, so it's been some erratic behavior.
He's been a
He had a great first year, set the record with all the sacks and stuff like that. But then now they're moving on from a player that they gave up a first round draft pick to get.
Yeah, it is interesting though, and I don't think the Jets would ever bring him back in, right? Like with everything.
At this point, he's gonna have to put on 10 pounds to play linebacker, because you know he was getting exposed. Like last year against Dallas, Ferguson was mossing his ass left and right. Oh, he's never been a guy. He was a blitzer and a guy that was close to the box, and you know, his days I think making big money is over. He's gonna have to try and convert to I think a wheel side linebacker to be able to have some type of value.
Okay. All right, well, that's on the Jets side of things. And by the way, in audio files was bottom of the hour. Aaron Rodgers had something to say about his future that if you're a Jets fan, you need to hear it. That'll come up bottom of the hour. But let's get into the Giants here.
You don't know if that was good.
Don't give it away. We'll get into that later. This is Giants time right now, because yesterday when we talked about Saquon Barkley not getting the franchise tag, and it really essentially it does mean the end of 26 in blue. I mean, that's just basically it. Where he ends up now is what everybody is talking about. And one place that, you know, you would think is, you know, would he end up with a team like the Chargers? Where could he go? Adam Schefter shot down any idea of him going to the Chargers, and he gave you an indication of what he thinks is going to be his destination.
The problem is that the Chargers still need to clear out a lot of cap space to get under the salary cap. They have looming decisions ahead on players like Mike Williams and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack and Keenan Allen. They're going to have to rework contracts, so they're going to have to clear our cap space to begin with. So if we're going to talk about Saquon, let me just float this out there. How would Saquon look in Dallas? How would Saquon look in Philadelphia? How would Saquon look somewhere in the NFC East other than the New York Giants? I could see an NFC East team exploring that to see if they can make something happen with Saquon. That would be something that would be really interesting.
So what is Shefty trying to suggest? That was from NFL Live. So yesterday on Get Up, RG3 talked about an NFC East team. How about Dallas?
No, I absolutely love it. I will say this, that the Cowboys have a winning culture. They just win in all the wrong areas. But when you specifically talk about Saquon Barkley, he's a three-down back that isn't just flash, right? He brings to the table what Jerry Jones wants, because over the last three eliminations for the Cowboys, they've been outrushed by 149 yards. So not only have they not been running the football, but they haven't been able to stop the run either. So with Saquon Barkley, I think of all the backs that are going to be free agents, he gives the Cowboys the best opportunity to go and win a Super Bowl. They get closer with Saquon than they do with any other running back.
Now, Bart, you brought up the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't really see it. I don't think that's what Dallas needs. And you talk.
Wait a minute, you brought it up yesterday. I was the one that fought you on it. You brought it up, and everybody else has been talking about it. And the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, all right, where there's smoke, there's fire. There must be something here.
Well, listen, Dallas has to consider that, right? Dallas. You know, they picked up the fifth-year option of Michael Parsons, right?
Yeah, of course.
But they got to address CeeDee Lamb. They're graduating out Tyron Smith because they can't afford to bring him back. Not that he didn't play well last year.
Right, no, he's going to be out there, right?
Right, so he's going to be out there. They have to address the Dak Prescott. I just don't see how, with so many moving parts and so many people contracts that they have to address, how they can give Saquon – like, if they're going to give Saquon the same money that the Giants would have gave, then why is Saquon leaving if he enjoys being here, right? They can't give – I don't think they can give Saquon the $12 million, and they need a linebacker, man. Like, the fact that they – like, okay, yeah, they couldn't run the ball – or they didn't try and run the ball. Mm-hmm. They couldn't stop the run. It was the fact. It was apparent what was missing from them. They took that little dude that was like 212, and they ran the ball down his throat. It was that. So if they're going to spend some money on the luxury piece, I think Vanderish has told the Dallas Cowboys that, you know, he's concerned with, you know, quality of life after sports with all the neck injury he's had.
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
You know, he's missed like three seasons on three different occasions because of the neck. So, I mean, the person to me that closed the gap is Derrick Henry. You know, they need a guy that's an attitude adjuster. And Saquon isn't that type of guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saquon he'll run between the tackles, but that's not really what he wanna do. He's a guy that, remember, we just heard Dave Gettleman talking about, hey, you gotta get the dirty yards, not Dave Gettleman. You heard Dayball talks about, man.
Dayball,
yeah, Dayball, yeah. Hey man, you got to get dirty, get downhill, blah blah blah. Well, that's Derrick Henry. You know, for me, I mean, I think Derrick Henry should be the first guy off the board as far as for teams that are close. Now I think Houston is the perfect fit, right? Because that's what Houston needs. Houston runs that San Francisco 49ers, Christian McCaffrey, one cut, you know, pull everybody down block. You know, pin back, you know, block back, pull for front side type of thing. You know, but Dallas is going to do their due diligence, and I'm sure it's about, you know, being able to stick it to your actual teammate, you know what I mean, or to the people in your conference. Saquon's going to have options, I think more options than people realize, and I think, you know, anybody that's getting into the Saquon business is going to pay at least $12 million.
$12 million. I mean, what caught my attention is the fact that Shefty said an NFC team is going to be involved with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
and then NFC East.
Well, let's see what Philly can do.
That's right. I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if Swift ended up with the Giants and then Barkley goes to the Eagles? But that's still, again, you're talking about if he's going to get the number he thinks he can get or wants. It's got to be $12 million, right?
Yeah, I mean, because Aaron Jones, who is a very good running back, makes $12 million for the Green Bay Packers.
Aren't they trying to get him to rework his deal?
Well, they're letting A.J. Dillon walk.
Well, yeah, they're letting him go, but I thought they also wanted to rework.
I don't know how you're going to rework it, especially after what he did for you in the playoffs.
No, you're right.
Like, I'm not giving no money back. Hold up. You want to redo my deal and refigure out my stuff, and you just got $38 million extra dollars?
Well, yeah.
Man, if you don't get the whole hell out of here.
That's the problem with that
coming out. You can restruct these. That's what you can do.
GMs want so bad to say, we got this extra money, now we can patch more holes in the roster. And other guys are like, oh, now you could pay me what I think I'm worth.
Exactly.
And it's like, wait, no, you're already paid. I need to fill this hole over here. Nope, you got to pay me more. Like, that is definitely the most frustrating part.
You damn sure ain't taking no money from me.
Well, yeah, how about that, too?
Like, you can go ahead and cut me play. It's out there somewhere. Somebody give it to me that don't have the player that I am.
So it's interesting. So you said that the Giants yesterday, you said the Giants are showing that they hate
They are so uninterested in him. You know what I mean? I think that was a relationship out of convenience.
Well, Jordan Renan was on Jordan Renan, we know, good friend of the show. He covers the Giants for us for a long time. He was on the K Show yesterday, and he asked a question that I think is the one that we're all asking, which is, all right, if Saquon can't get what he wants on the open market, you know, does he then take less to stay with the Giants? Here's Jordan's response.
I think there's a chance. I mean, I spoke to one GM, and he said, you know, I thought it'd be around $8 million. But most people that I talked to, they were all in like that $10 million range. They thought it would come in there. And then there's the occasional outlier that thinks it can be 11, 12, 13. That one team will go crazy. So I do think it'll be double digits. And I think at that point, I think the Giants are willing to move on. There was a point this season where, you know, he said to me, you know, he said, Jordan, come over here. He said, what do you think? Have I played well enough for them to franchise tag me? You know, I mean, at that point, he was injured and he just come back and the answer was probably no. And so I was like, probably not. I was like, but they know what your value is. You're the best player on this offense. And he was like, well, I hope they don't franchise tag me. So, like, it's pretty clear what his intention was. Like, not his intention, but that's what he wanted. He wanted to see what his value is on the open market. So he's not disappointed by this at all. And this was the outcome that he wanted.
So if he's saying, I hope they don't franchise tag me, franchise tag me guarantees me almost $12 million, like
right.
slightly underneath it. And then you telling me that I'm going to go play for somewhere for $8 million? So you're talking about a three-year deal for $24 million when I'm expecting at least a two-year deal for $24 million anyway? You mean I got to work a whole extra year to get my money? Nah, man.
How do you expect – you can't expect that, though. You can't expect another year at 12. Like, the franchise tag's a one-year situation, and you're back at it again.
Yeah, but if they franchise tag you,
a three-year deal that guarantees 24 is better than a one-year deal that guarantees 12.
Nah,
what if he gets hurt?
Nah, I'd rather get franchised because then at the end of the day, if they franchise tag me again or if I have a great season.
But what if you get hurt?
Don't protect yourself, man.
By getting the guaranteed money as much as you can up front.
That's not enough guaranteed money for me to forego my earning potential. Especially if I think I'm one of the best running backs or could have one of the best seasons in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he goes to Houston, he'll have 1,500 yards rushing. Stop it. Like Breece Hall had 1,200 and damn near 1,000 receiving, and he had nobody. Like he had 20-man box. If he goes there with all those weapons with that type of quarterback, Saquon will have like 2,400 all-purpose yards. He'll have like 1,600 yards rushing.
How many games is he going to play?
That's determined by Saquon. I mean, but he how many
isn't that part of the
how many
though,
did he
with
play?
Him?
Even if he don't play, you know, as many games as like say let's say he played, you know, 14, he's still gonna have mad impact as long as it's not a season ending. Like that's what I'm saying. As long as it's not a season ending, if he has his typical Saquon, I'm gonna miss 2 to 3 games for a high ankle sprain.
Right.
So be it.
It's like what Jordan said to him. You clearly, you know, you are the best player on the team. Like everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But it's are they willing to invest in you to be the best player on the team when I do think the availability thing and the durability thing are major, major factors.
Would you invest in something that
has durability and longevity issues?
Yeah,
you wouldn't invest in that.
But if he goes to Houston, he wouldn't be the best player on the team. If he goes to Dallas, he wouldn't be the best player on the team. So then that means he has to carry less. That means he can do more because everybody knew Saquon was getting the ball. I mean,
wouldn't you
look
take
at the,
$8
look at the Jets
to play
game.
In Dallas
look at the,
or
look
Houston?
Look at the Jets game.
Right.
Their quarterback did not throw a pass. That's how important he was, and they almost won the game.
Yeah. I know. They wouldn't let him throw a football.
Right. You put him on a team that has opportunities, then I don't think you have to deal with that. Saquon, I think, is going to be able to have – we need him to play on a team that we can see the full Saquon Barkley experience, what we thought
well,
we were going to get with Eli and Odell Beckham.
I thought we did see that, though. I thought we have seen the full –
we saw it as a rookie.
Barkley experience. We definitely saw it as a rookie, and we saw it 2 years ago when he was healthy.
Nah, he still didn't have no teammates.
Remember, he was working his way back. Oh, I see what you mean. You mean when there's space because you can't just focus on him.
Right. I want to see like
Micah Parsons said.
Right. I want to see what Dame Dollar go to Milwaukee. What is he really about now that he got great teammates where you can't double on him and his other guys that he can.
It's a terrible example.
Up. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That wasn't a great example.
Yeah.
Well, more about the Giants. So that's the whole – you don't like the way they've handled the Saquon Barkley thing. How about – listen to Lewis Riddick, again, another friend of the show. This is also from Get Up Yesterday. And how he felt about not only Saquon Barkley stuff, but how this whole Daniel Jones thing is going down. Remember, Rich Eisen said that he's hearing that the Giants are saying they're absolutely done with him. Done.
And buyer's remorse.
And they have buyer's remorse and everything else. Here's Lewis Riddick, he just annihilates the Giants.
13 months ago, their owner, John Mara, said, "We've done everything we could." We've done everything in the world, everything possible to screw this kid up in terms of the structure that they put around him with the coaching staff, the support he had on the offensive line, the support he had at the skill positions, all of it. And then just, you know, in March of last year, almost to the day, they gave him a contract. He played 6 games this year. He was sacked 30 times. Their pass block win rate's in the bottom quarter of the NFL. Andrew Thomas missed time this year. John Michael Schmitz missed time. Evan Neal is still a work in progress at right tackle. Darren Waller, who they signed, didn't pan out for them in the way that they hoped. They have no weapons on the perimeter, and now all of a sudden, now they're done. On top of the fact that now Brian Daboll has gone from being a coach of the year to having turmoil throughout his staff, people leaving, people wanting to leave, and now maybe, you know, the speculation now is about whether or not he's coaching for his job. Isn't that amazing how stuff can turn on its head? And you wonder why the Giants have not been able to make some headway right now in the East and be true contenders. Because when you have this kind of thing that is happening within one calendar year, there's no way you can make headway.
Where's he wrong? I mean, it's fair to say that there's just been constant turnover and, as he put it, also turmoil. And so how do you expect to develop anyone in this type of environment? And I think what he's explaining is actually true. It's, and again, remember, Saquon's someone else's pick. Daniel Jones is someone else's pick and starts there. So they're not part of the development process, but they did get these two guys. They had a chance to do something with them. And they get hurt, and part of Daniel Jones's failure has not been that he sucks as a quarterback. You've always been a fan of Daniel Jones, right, Bart? You've always that you think he's good. But the problem is that with no offensive line, him running for his life, and no real weapons to throw to when it comes to wide receivers who can get separation, Daniel Jones has been set up to fail. That's a fact.
And I think any quarterback that goes in there right now is set up to fail until they figure out what the hell they're doing with the right side of their offensive line and plugging in some of them holes. So you can go bring anybody in here. You can go draft a young quarterback. You still can't support them yet until you address that offensive line and a number one weapon on the outside.
Which they is why you don't take a quarterback at 6, right?
Yeah. I think that's why you go Michael Penn, because you got to protect them. So, like, it's much better to have a subpar quarterback behind there that can be protected and can go through the process and say, hey, let me figure out where the ball got to go and I have an extra click, than to have, you know, a quarterback back there with a receiver that he can never get the ball to. Right? Like, unless you draft in Joe Burrow that can take an ass kicking like that, get sacked 9 times and still
even
win a playoff game.
He got beat up, yeah.
Yeah, look, we haven't seen him for 2 years.
Right. All of a sudden, right?
He's missed more games than Lamar Jackson. He came in after him.
But the problem is they already paid him, and he already helped them get to a Super Bowl. Well, so it kind of shows you, okay, when he's healthy, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, they
fixed
did
the right thing by getting
too.
Chase. Like, they did the right thing there.
But they,
at least he had receivers.
Yeah, but they recognized, he had receivers. He had 3 great receivers.
Yes, and a good tight end.
And a great running back.
That's
right?
True, too.
And they went out and spent money on a franchise left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, hey, after they had to admit that the left tackle that they drafted in the first round was a bust.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jonah Williams.
But again, they got far enough to believe that you can win with this quarterback. What you saw 2 years ago in the playoffs, a lot of people, it wasn't really Daniel Jones. Look at his numbers. Like, look at his numbers. But that's been the issue here is Daniel Jones is not a bum. He just never had a real opportunity to have a stable
I think he's Kirk Cousins.
That's not terrible.
But look.
So like, he's going to go somewhere. You think Daniel Jones eventually is going to end up somewhere and not be like what Sam Darnold did, which is now he's just toiling as a backup.
I think he's already shown us that he's way more than what he took a subpar roster and won a playoff game. Sam Darnold never even came close to that. What I'm saying is, would we talk about Kirk Cousins if he wasn't throwing to Justin Jefferson, Addison, T.J. Hockenson, and Dalvin Cook?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, like, yes, quarterbacks like Daniel Jones need support.
You know what can happen this year.
He's better than Baker Mayfield, in my opinion. And you have
talent-wise?
Right,
I think so.
And you have a team. You have a team right now willing to pay Baker Mayfield to be their starting quarterback.
$30 million. Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing with Daniel Jones is what could happen next year. If the Giants, say, take the wide receiver at 6, if they take Malik Nabers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take him at 6. If they improve the offensive line, even without Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones could have a good season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He could have a good – and then what do you do? Then you're like, oh, well, maybe he is pretty good. Like, that's the thing that could really happen. So if you're – like, what are you betting on right now? If you're telling everybody you're done with him,
then that
and
means,
yet
that means you're
he's
drafting.
All you got right now, and then he plays well, then what do you do?
Because that means you're drafting a guy. right? And then now you're stuck because you draft somebody in the second round, and like you're like, we stuck with Daniel Jones, but we want to get out of this contract.
But he's playing well.
I think even if he's playing well, they're going to try and move him and trade him. You know what I'm saying? If he's playing well, because you're saying, hey, if we can take this money off the books, Michael Penix is somebody that we can. He's a
They have
plain,
to know.
Yeah. He's a plain piece of clay.
Right, exactly.
They'd and we can mold him. Daniel Jones was already molded before we got here. Daniel Jones has, what, three different – this will be his fourth offense coordinator in
no,
5 years?
Kafka's still the OC.
Oh, okay. I thought
it's the DC. Obviously, the defense coordinator changed.
So he had
– Kafka's not going anywhere.
He had three coaches, right?
He's been through
– three coaches.
It's been – like, you know what I mean? Like, it's been such a blur, man.
What's the guy start with a P? I forgot, from Minnesota.
Pat Shurmur?
Yeah, Pat Shurmur. Gettleman. But then he had somebody before
Gettleman
Pat Shurmur.
Was the general manager.
Yeah, he had somebody before. It felt like he had like three different head coaches.
It's been a lot. But like I said, no offensive line, no real wide receiver, high-end skill guy, like a target kind of guy that can help you. He did have Saquon, yes, but even Saquon was in and out of the lineup a lot of times. But the fact that he was always running for his life.
Everybody got healthy when Daniel Jones went down.
It's an
Tommy DeVito and Tyrod, like, oh, look what they're doing. They got Saquon and he's protected. Like, bro, I got sacked. Bro, I got sacked the average of five times in six games. I got sacked five times a game.
It is true.
You know how crazy it is to get sacked five times in a game?
Like,
a team go in, they get five sacks in a game. They're like, yo, we Gucci. Like, yo, we got five sacks today. They high-fiving each other.
Yeah.
That was like the baseline.
And for him, it was just a week-in and week-out situation. All right. Well, we'll see where things go there. But the Giants situation, you can hear the criticisms already of the franchise and how they're handling things.
Who's in the worst situation? Jets or Giants? I'm trying to figure out.
It's got to be the Giants.
And it's crazy because this is the team that went to the playoffs.
Yeah,
You got a coach in Sala and a general manager coaching for their career.
I'll tell you what. If you wanted to go down the line, we start a general manager. Who would you rather have? Joe Douglas or Joe Shane?
See, I don't know yet.
Joe Shane's got to show us something this summer, right?
Thibodeau's starting to look, but like the Evan Neal is aging bad.
So Shane hasn't yet had enough time for us, and we've had a number of years with Joe Douglas. So I guess, all right, so we can't.
Because the Mekhi Becton is aging bad.
Head coach, who'd you rather have?
I think people would say Daboll. He's won a coach of the year, so I think you got to go
Daboll. I mean, the guy won coach of the year. You got to go with the coach of the year, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Come on, quit playing.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. So you're in a better situation at the quarterback position.
Running back, even with Saquon.
Running back, Breece Hall.
Yeah, defense, all of Jets.
The Jets' defense is better.
Yeah,
offensive line.
It's like two guys.
To me, they have the most important piece, which is the left tackle.
Well,
you have to say Giants, even though both offensive lines have major issues.
Well, we have Rivera Tucker, but it's like two people in a boat with holes in it, and everybody got a lunch pail trying to throw the water out before the ship sink.
I mean, you know, how about wide receivers?
Well, you got to go.
Garrett.
You know, yeah.
Garrett's better than anything they have.
Yeah.
Tight ends.
Conklin, because, you know, Waller's never healthy.
Waller's issue is
not like Rucker. I think, you know, Rucker is cool.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's
– cornerbacks. It's everything.
Right.
You would take their D tackle, but both D tackles are excellent.
If you want to just go situation, you would take the Jets situation.
Yeah.
Because you feel with Rodgers they're closer to winning.
A more positive outcome.
Yeah. You feel like they're closer to winning if you're going full situations, but
if Aaron can stay upright.
And that's
Aaron go down for game one, man. I'm quitting and I'm tapping out. I'm leaving. I'm done.
If they lose him for the season in week one again this year, I've never done this before. That's it for me. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm just quitting.
Eventually
that bad luck gonna rub off on you because we too close to the situation. I'm like, I'm in that building every day.
I root for, it kind of feels like that sometimes. Used to be the Yankees were the team that kept me afloat. Well, I can live with the other teams not being as good. Even the Yankees now have kind of caught up. It's only as if the stench is like carried over into the Bronx. Anyways, all right. So coming up, speaking of the Jets, Aaron Rodgers with an interesting take on his future in football. And more in audio files. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So lots of talk about the Giants drafting a quarterback in the first round this year, maybe J.J. McCarthy. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave both agreed the Giants aren't simply a quarterback away.
I mean, at what point do we call this what this is? The Giants are rebuilding.
Absolutely.
The Giants are rebuilding.
Absolutely.
You got a gift,
and what happened was you took two steps forward but three steps back. You got a gift 2 years ago. You won a postseason game. That was not supposed to happen. Everything went perfectly, but you are not that good of a football team. Your receivers stunk. Your offensive line was not good. Your defense was mediocre. And now, last year, it came back to haunt them, and now they're still in the midst of a rebuild.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we'll get back to the calls at 800-919-3776. We got a lot to get to in the world of sports. So right now, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
All right. Football or basketball? Pick it.
You know me. Basketball is my favorite sport.
You want to go basketball? Really? I'm surprised. Okay. Basketball.
The Pistons.
I mean, you're a football guy. I thought you'd want to. We have a lot of football. We'll do the basketball first.
Basketball is more exciting right now until next week when free agency starts.
Well, here's some exciting news, or at least it's an exciting suggestion that you hope that it isn't like other times we've heard a star say this. Pelicans are playing well. They just they win by like 40 last night. Zion Williamson, after the game, was asked. He had like a pretty nice dunk in this game. He was asked, how come you've never been in the dunk contest, and would you participate in the dunk contest? And he said,
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not doing it.
That makes sense. Now, if you're a star, you don't want to be there simply just to participate in something. You want to be a star there for the weekend.
Now, wait a minute. Hang on a second.
And if Zion's in it.
His way? Because remember, he didn't make it this year. Now, he's been to the All-Star game. He's been voted as an All-Star.
They expanded the playoffs for him.
They did. Is he saying, you got to vote me in? Like, listen to how he puts it.
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not doing it.
Not doing it. But he said, I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. Did LeBron James not do this to us every now and then?
Yeah, yeah.
Only to back out?
Yeah.
So Zion now is basically saying, If you send me to the All-Star game, I'll participate in the dunk contest. We have to hold them to that, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. We absolutely got to do that. But that's what I'm saying. I'm
do
hoping.
You think that he's the type of dunk? Now, remember, he's 6'6".
Man,
do you think that he could put on the type of show that we need in the dunk contest? Like, because I understand the jumping over people thing. Yo, and the like, I've had enough of us. Can we stop jumping over people? Can we just do dunks like they used to do where they were powerful, athletic, acrobatic, like jumping over people? I've had it already. Yo, I get it. You jumped over Shaq. It's amazing.
Yo, Zion's high school dunk contest was liver than most of these ones I've seen.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes the high school dunk contests are better than the ones in the NBA.
Go to his high school joint.
So,
like, give me that.
Okay.
But then if if he gets in there, I need Eric Gordon to come back. He never won it. He should have won it.
You want Aaron Gordon back in the dunk contest at this point in his career? Well, I don't know if he's.
No.
We haven't seen him do that anymore. Like, he doesn't do the high-flying stuff anymore.
Yes, he does.
Like Zach LaVine, those two guys, they've broken down.
But no. Look at what happens every time it's a pick and roll. He catching an oop every time.
All right.
So and then what I need is
so Zion,
that happens,
Aaron Gordon. Who else you want? Jalen Brown back in there?
I never want to see him again. Like bro, that was like watching Sims. Just like, bro, what the hell is you doing, man? He did a one-arm dunk.
The Jalen Brown, that was almost like, thanks for participating. Let's push you right to the finals since you did this.
I want Ja Morant.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I want Ja Morant.
Zion.
Gordon.
Who else would you want to see?
Who else a high flyer?
Like, I need four. I need four guys that you know, like, these guys, like, are – like, whether it's powered, give me Wembanyama.
No, I want Wemby.
I want Wemby.
Wemby dunking from 3-point line.
Like, well, wouldn't it be
in his warm up?
Yes, he would do things that everyone else can't do. Give me Wemby in the dunk contest.
If that's the case, just to make it worse, I want Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren. I don't know if Chet can do things.
Just so he can play the heel.
How about Bobo? Let's just do like a seven foot dunk contest.
Yo, did you see Bobo with the Bobo moment?
I knew you would do this.
Did you see Bobo with the spin through the back, hung on the rim, got the tech?
Mm-hmm.
But did you see the one where he had there and he had a guy sitting right under the rim? He shot it anyway. Like, bro, you supposed to act like you shooting it, throw it down. Like, he do not pass the ball for nobody.
No, that's been the problem.
I'm like, all right, damn,
well,
Bobo.
Zion said, if I'm in the All-Star game, I'm in. So, in on the dunk contest.
Hold on. Don't Houston.
Who would you want to see go up against Zion? 800-919-3776.
Houston got a guy, right? Houston got a high flyer guy.
Jalen Green?
Yeah. Give me him, right? And then I need $1 million to the winner.
Well, oh, by the way, you know a name we just completely forgot that needs to be in the dunk contest? I mean, I can't believe we forgot this.
Kay Cunningham?
No.
Oh.
But.
Who?
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, yeah, that's me.
Edwards.
Yo, and put $1 million to the winner, $500,000 to second place.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure the league with its sponsors could scrape up 1.5, put it on the desk. Yo. I would want it, you know what, even better? Stack it. I want bands on the table
so when the player wins, you leave it with cash.
Don't worry about the statue. Let me get a duffel, and I'm gonna scrape it right into the duffel bag and walk out the building with the bands in my pocket.
I want it old school. I want it in a briefcase. I want it like Ice-T. I want it like Ice-T when it was a drug deal, and he had the jacket on. He got down and hold that player. Thought you didn't trust me. I knew him from somewhere. Yo, he 5-0. I want it like that. I want, you know when you
could
hit
you
it,
imagine,
and it go
that
plop,
what a show
go,
that would be.
Plop, click 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 click. Yeah. And you remember back in the day because my mom had a briefcase. It had like three numbers on one side,
yeah,
three numbers on that side. Plop, plop.
Yeah.
Oh, hit that thing.
And inside you have a little light, so when it opens up, it's like Pulp Fiction. The glow goes on his face when he opens it up. Who would not be? See, it's all about theater.
Yes.
Who would not be down for that? Put the money on the table right there. So when I'm dunking, I'm looking at the money like, yo,
because you can get it sponsored by like Brinks.
Oh, come on.
You had the security people
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And we all know Like, in the end, if you want to say it, like the fact that the player would then take the briefcase, like, there's the trophy. That's cute. Give me the briefcase. And you hold up that briefcase like, that's a milli in my pocket.
You'd be like, yo, mail the trophy. I'm out.
I don't even need the trophy.
All right,
we got to get to the football stuff because we had good football stuff here. As we continue on audio files, Aaron Rodgers on the Look Into It podcast. So remember, he said last year he's hoping to play two more years. He has now changed that statement, Bart Scott.
How can I be my best with my diet today, with my fluid intake, just everything down to a T to try and get better? And I got back on the practice field late in the season and couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab-wise from the start and feeling really good. And, you know, again, I'm hopeful I can play two or three or four more years, but you need to have some good fortune there, too.
Excuse me?
I wonder what he's done.
Did he just go from 1 to 2 years to 2, 3, or 4 years?
Yo.
Could the Jets have a quarterback for 4 years? Is that possible? When was the last time they had the same starter for 4 years?
Yo, so is he counting last year and he's saying 3 more years?
No. He said 2, 3, or 4 more years.
See, now I'm pissed, right?
Because what are you mad at?
Because now Michael Penix, like, you can't draft Michael Penix, and then you draft Michael Penix, he's like, I'm playing for 4 years. You'll never see him play. Like, yo, like, it's Jordan Love all over again.
4 years, though.
Listen,
I'll take three. I thought you were only getting two. I'm like, can you get two out of him? You might get three. I mean, that's so him saying that tells you, A, physically feeling great. You know he's got the diet and all this stuff. He is being maniacal about his nutrition and fitness, which you respect when he's an athlete. But if you think that he feels that good enough that he could play 4 years, by the way, Joe Douglas, you know what he's telling you? Get me a freaking offensive line, please. Mm-hmm. Right? Protect me. Because you might have a quarterback for 4 years.
And he can protect himself to a certain extent. So
okay.
Just build me a competent offensive line.
Oh, my God.
Give me a war daddy on the left that can protect my blind. Go get Joe Alt. If that's the case.
I need five blocks of granite.
If he just told me. That he ready to commit. So that's fine. You want to know what I'm going to do?
Well,
we about to put this extension in, baby, because we about to lower this cap number again. I'm about to give you a 6-year deal. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. Let's think about it that way.
So if we doing that.
But then
that
also, wouldn't it tell you also then trade up from 10?
That's what
give
I'm saying.
Give up future assets because
I'm going to get Joe Alt right now.
I got to win now.
I'm going to get Joe Alt right now.
That's how I feel.
I'm giving you my next year's two.
Be aggressive.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, here's more stuff here in audio files, including Caleb Williams, who's more than likely going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, right? And he's talking about wanting to be a great quarterback himself. But he was asked by CBS Sports who he thinks the greatest of all time is. He had to have said Tom Brady, right?
Who's your football GOAT?
Football, winning, and things like that. Mentality. Tom Brady. My football GOAT is Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Nothing?
Cali guy, you know what I'm saying? Game recognized game because, listen, Caleb Williams is more like Aaron Rodgers with the angles and stuff like that than he ever was Tom Brady dropping back and surveying.
But right? Notice how he said Tom Brady, but then he said, but mine.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
Aaron
that, that's y'all's, but like the guy, my guy, my favorite guy, like it's like that. You know what I'm saying? Like most people say, who's your favorite basketball player? I'm going to say Isaiah Thomas. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's going to say Jordan. I'm going to say Jordan.
Well, no,
I respect
no.
Jordan.
But your favorite versus. Who you think is the greatest of all time are two different things. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Your favorite
I think he was going with his guy. Who he thinks the best player at the position. And Aaron Rodgers can do things that Tom Brady can never do, except win 7-2 Super Bowls. That's the only thing that Tom Brady can do better than Aaron Rodgers.
It was winning.
Is win Super Bowls.
Winning big, yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe Aaron can get a couple here with the Jets. He's going to play 2, 3, 4 years. I heard that. I was like, oh? So how do you feel about it, Jets fans? 800-993-7776. Yeah. Well, I tell you what. If that's what Rodgers is telling me, there's got to be a part of you that is saying, then we need to get as good as we can get on the offensive line now.
I feel like Mick.
What are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for? Exactly.
Like, I'm going to go get Joe Alt, and I'm bringing in Eric Dotson.
Go talk to your friends with the Chargers with the 5th pick.
Yeah.
And help me help you.
And the crazy thing is they said they want to bring back Bryce Huff, but they're not going to franchise
him. They didn't franchise him, no. I know. Interesting.
I would try and move him.
Avoided that. All right, your calls, 800-919-3776. Reacting to audio files, what you heard. Number one, Zion Williamson in the dunk contest. Would you be into that? And who would you want to see go against him if he is, in fact, there next year to do it? And then Aaron Rodgers, what you just heard him say. 2, 3, 4 more years with the Jets. Does that mean the Jets need to now go all in this year? Meaning what the Rams did a couple years ago. F them picks. Get what you can get right now to make sure. 5 blocks of granite in front of this man and see if you can finally hit pay dirt with Aaron Rodgers. 800-919-3776. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, feel good song.
I just love that ding, 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 ding.
Yep.
I'm trying to think how many people use this beat, man. This been remade a bunch of times.
What was in what song was it? In the 90s.
Dun, 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 dun,
was it like, who was it?
I can't even remember, man.
Oh, man, it was one of the girl bands.
Oh, you think about SWV?
Was it SWV that had that? Maybe it was.
So right with me. Mm. But it's like it's a different version of it, you know, because they sample so much stuff, and then they like they change it, and it's like the same beat, but they still take it from.
So did you see this finish in a New Jersey high school basketball playoff game?
Yeah, the one shot he came down and hit it with the one hand, left hand, nothing released from chasing splash.
I can't I watch it a million times and I still don't understand why it was waved off.
I saw the one the other day, like maybe that was college, where he hit the bucket, and then the team they thought they won, it came down, crossed over, jumped from like the 3-point line, hit it with a left hand shot.
No, this is high school. New Jersey, this is your state. Camden High School, okay, this is the state semifinals. So there's like 6 seconds to go, and they're playing against Manasquan. Did I say that right?
Yes, close enough.
And so I guess it's like, yeah, they've hit the free throws, 6 seconds, you come down the floor, you do a, you know, just chuck it up, miss. They get the rebound under a second, so it's catch and then just – push it right back up again. It looks like it goes in. It looks like it every time I slow it down, it feels like the kid's got it in his hands. But
in high school, you don't
wave it off.
You don't wave nothing off in high school, man.
Yeah, do you have even replay? They wait. It's unbelievable.
Right.
So instead, what would have been?
Listen,
a huge win.
The easiest place,
was a devastating loss.
The easiest place to pay refs off is at the high school level.
When you get to the state level, I don't think that's something. When you're in the state semifinals, the best refs are being rewarded with those games.
Let me tell you something. GG played for the championship, and she fouled out like maybe a couple years ago. The referee was the grandfather of the girl on the other team.
Oh, no.
And they lost by 1 point.
You hate seeing that. Right? Hate seeing that. But I'm telling, as I'm looking at it, and again, there's 0.6 and the ball, it's.
So if you're replaying it.
It looks like it's not in his fingers. It looks like it's not.
Even if it's close, man, you let that go. That's a great shot. Come on, man.
Such a bang-bang play, right? Yeah. So I guess that the referees got together and they just decided not they decided to wave it off. And that was it. So it's heartbreaking, though, for the kids, right? Like, obviously, for the team that won, the kid made his free throw like he did what you're supposed to do. But for the team that lost, Camden is I think, one of the top teams in the state.
Right.
But still, oof.
So they ain't want to mess them up in case they going against the play, you know, because they become ranked in the world in America.
The world.
Then, well, America, you know, like some of these high schools, like, you know, then they go play AMG or something like that.
Well, this IMG. Is just a state. It's just a state semifinal. That's all it is.
I'm just saying, though. You know, yeah. What I'm saying, you know, like when they
but
when
Manasquan,
these
like you felt like they could have stolen one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know how these teams have these overall rankings, like these. You know, overall rankings for
the
country.
But,
and then they usually play each other at some point, like in some game. So, like, if the team is representing New Jersey and they, you know.
Well,
it's
the end of the season. This is it. You play for the States and you're done. Like, that's it. No. But how about this from the Camden coach? This is from NJ.com. Malik Wayans is the head coach. He said, "We got one. Sometimes a little bit of luck and hard work is on your side." So even he knew, like, yeah, that was close, you know. Like, and I respect the coach for saying that.
Yeah, because it kind of gives the losing team a soft landing.
Well, you acknowledge that the other team, we probably lost this game, but we're not going to say it. But that's tough. I mean, again, for Manasquan, like, you play that hard and against a team that good in the state semifinal. It's not even for the state championship. Like, you still have to play one more game. But that's a big deal, and for these kids, like that's their memory. And the I don't know, I didn't see the kid's name who took the shot, who caught it and quickly got rid of it.
He would have been a hero.
Oh my God, you live with that forever. Instead,
this does,
you feel
this
like
does more, yeah, that would have did more for him in his life. What I forgot that we always talk about that movie where Belushi, Fate or something like that, where he don't hit the home run. They talk about what his life
would have
been.
You reference this all the time, Mr. Destiny.
Yeah, Mr. Destiny.
This is Jim Belushi.
Yeah, right. this would have been his.
You love that movie. You talk about it a lot.
Because it's just, hey, like, life comes down to, like, either doing
moments.
It or not doing it moments.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you come up big in the moments, it changes your life because it changes your confidence and belief and everything. You become that guy. You know, this kid would have been floating on water forever. He would have been an icon in the championship. And they probably would have went to the next game, got the doors beat off. You know, when
Who
you
knows?
Beat somebody a team you ain't supposed
yeah.
to beat, and then you go play, you get the brakes beat off of you. But like he would have been an icon for the rest of his life.
So the kid who hit the shot, who got the shot. I mean, you're talking about great instincts from this kid. His name is Griffin Lindstra, and they waved it off. Imagine like I can't imagine this kid probably didn't sleep all night.
They waved it off.
He's saying, man. So the trail ref said it was good, and then the other ref waved it off. Then they converged. They talked about it, and then they decided. No, he didn't get it off in time, and they waved it off. And that, like I said to him, you got to know.
He got
for
overruled.
Sure.
He got overruled.
Yeah.
The guy trailing should see it better, right? Because he's behind. He can
you would
see
think he's
clock.
Looking up
he,
at the clock,
yeah,
right?
He can see the clock and the ball in the hands.
As the story goes, the trail ref had the call right, but then they still converged, and they talked about it, and then they said, no, he didn't get it off.
Well, I need a
That's
deeper,
tough. So, again, congratulations to Camden, but for Manasquan, like, again, hold your heads up, you know, high.
I need a deeper investigation into who this other ref is and what his dealings is and what the prop. I need to know him.
I knew it. All right, coming up. So we got our Han Hoops hierarchy.
Ooh,
who are the teams? Who are the teams that are not the favorites? These are the underdog teams. So you're not a top seed in the NBA that you do not want to see if you're a top seed in the first round.
I got one.
I give you my top five in order, power ranked, of the teams that if you're a top seed and you got to play this team in the first round, you do not want to see them. Are the Knicks on this list? Stay with us for the Power Hour coming up next. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Plenty of questions for the Giants to answer this year at the draft. The first one being, are they done with Daniel Jones? That was the question posed to Jordan Renan yesterday.
They're not done with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is going to be their starter week one this season. But they're done building around Daniel Jones. They know that they have to try to get a quarterback to move forward with here, and they're looking for opportunities and to see what's out there. A, if it could be at 6, or it could be in a trade-up. I think the most likely trade-up now is spot 4.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.